Because there's only one left, Bill. You should, that helps you. Sure. The Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord to the prophet. Verse 23 says, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did it as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had born a son, and he named him Jesus. Juliet, Romeo and Juliet. Juliet was speaking of Romeo when she asked the famous question, "What's in a name?" Juliet went on to say that a rose by any other name would smell just as sweet. "Rename it as you will, a rose will retain its beauty and its fragrance." She had a point. Isn't it a name simply just a collection of alphabet letters? If we can't judge a book by its cover, surely we can't judge men or women by their names. You were given your name before anyone knew your personality. And if someone knew your personality before they would have gave you your name, they would have found the name to match. And maybe some of you have had your name changed to fit your personality. I don't know. I know that I was named the day I was born. That doesn't happen very much anymore. Some folks, before they even get married, talk about what names they want to give their children. And the children have names long before they come. I guess Dad looked at me and named me Kenneth, because Kenneth means handsome. I'm glad he waited. Now, I looked up some of your names to see what it meant. Watson meant late. Peggy, name means pearl. Looked up pearl, her name means Peggy. What, Pastor Doug over here, Doug, I looked it up. Dark stranger. Dark stranger, well, Barbara knew that. Holger, spear-like. Spear-like. Michael, Mike, there's a Mike or Michael here. Who is like God? Ruth means companion, friend. Todd, fox. Me and him, I'll get together and sing a duet. Got a handsome fox standing up here. And then Arlene, pledge, an oath. That's the exact type of stuff I use on the furniture to dust with, pledge. There's something about a name. But doesn't this principle also apply to the name of Jesus? It is not what we call him that matters, but who he is. The name provides him with no power, but he certainly empowers the name. The name is the matter of five little letters in English letters, in an English language, and yet, as an old gospel song phrasing that we've sung this morning, there's something about that name. Of all the titles, of all the designations for Jesus, they're given by the scriptures, 700 of them according to most counts. Jesus is the name we use the most, the one we invoke in prayer, and the one the world recognizes, whether or not they accept who he is or not. They recognize the name and who Jesus represents. There is certainly power in the name. There's power, there's comfort, and there's authority in that name. You know, at the time of Jesus' birth, the name Jesus was nowhere unique. In fact, it was the most popular name for boys. Jesus is a Greek equivalent to the name of Joshua, which means God saves. It recalled the great leader of Israel who succeeded Moses in leading the Israelites into the promised land. So a lot of the kids were named after their heritage spiritually. That'll be Joshua, Jesus. It is not surprising that the name Joshua, Jesus, was so popular. The Jewish historian Josephus detailed that 20 men of distinction was known by the name of Jesus, and 10 of them were contemporaries of the child of Mary. During the lifetime, the name continued in popularity until a few years after Jesus' death and resurrection. Then all of a sudden, the name of Jesus disappeared from the histories and censuses. And why is that? Because it had taken on a brand new and even somewhat controversial meaning. Christians believe that no child was worthy to bear the name that is above all names, and for non-believing Hebrews, the name evoked an influence that they didn't want to embrace. But whose idea was it to call the child Jesus? The word came from God himself. And like my father, he wanted to name his own son. As Joseph slept in the first Sunday of Advent, we talked about this, an angel came in a dream, even giving him assurance, encouragement, and even instruction. Remember, Joseph was coping with the shock of finding his fiancée to be expecting the child that he knew that wasn't his. And it was a disgrace to be with her and the word being out. He felt the anger, he felt the disgrace that any young man probably would have felt. Then the words of Jesus, then the words of God's messenger changed everything. Remember what he said in verse 21, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." How much clearer can you be? And there are times, my friend, when God speaks to us and we doubt it. This can't be God. This must be last night's pizza talking to me. We'll make other excuses. I've had people tell me, well, I put out a fleece just to make sure it was God. I had someone tell me one time, they left the church service, And they said, well, if this is really what God wants me to do, I need to see three deer before I get home. They saw two, which told them that they weren't supposed to do it. They felt like God was telling them in the service they had to put out a fleece. No, they didn't. They were trying to find a way to get out of it. We spend more time trying to get out of the will of God than staying in the will of God. We spend more time trying to figure out what we can do to get away from Him instead of what we can do for Him. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child is not yours. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. And this is the name you ought to give Him. Jesus. And even in his dream, I'm sure Joseph knew what that meant. Being that common name as it was. For He will save His people from their sins. Our Heavenly Father was very deliberate in His design of that message and of that name for His only begotten Son. It is as if He wanted to be absolutely sure that no one missed the point. So let us ask the question once again, what's in a name? There is meaning in the fact that God chose a name of past significance. Joshua was one who led the children on from Israel into the land of promise. There is essential legacy. And after many years of slavery, after many years of grief, and after many ruthless wandering, He brought them across the River Jordan, a barrier that had seemed insurmountable. There is meaning in the fact that God shows a common name in every way, in every single way. The mission of the Son was to identify with people of all kinds. People of the time looked for someone bigger than life. They expected a conqueror, like a Samson or a Solomon. They didn't expect a peasant. They didn't expect a village carpenter in clothes of humility and servanthood. Philippians 2, 6, 8, though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up His divine privileges. He took the humble position of the slave as born as a human being. When He appeared in human form, humbled Himself in obedience to God, and died a criminal's death on a cross. The name of Jesus was common enough. Another Jesus was slated to be executed at the time of Christ's crucifixion. His name was Jesus Barabbas. We always heard Barabbas. He was a terrorist. He was a murderer. There is meaning in the name of Jesus now and for eternity. Jesus Himself promised us that whatsoever we might ask in His name would be granted. We are baptized in the name of Jesus. We serve our friends and our community in the name of Jesus. Some of you still can't get past Barabbas and Jesus. You're still looking at me like, what are you talking about? We never heard that before. It's those type of things that I almost don't bring to the pulpit. Because it takes you on a journey. And I've had some people, even while I've been here, I had one person particularly, after a joy luncheon of all places. I've never seen this person since. Don't quit trying to figure out who it was, because I don't know. But he said, you mentioned Jesus Christ. Why do you put Christ after the end of Jesus? That's not His name. So that's why he got out of the whole message. I'm sorry. I said, you know what? I'm not apologizing for using Jesus Christ. The world uses it as a slander. I'm using it because it's the name above all names. Where do you go to church? I knew the answer before I asked it. He doesn't go anywhere. We are afraid of the name of Jesus. that we even want to control it of what it should be and what it shouldn't be. We don't want to be impacted by the person of the name of Jesus because he changes our life. We have to die to ourselves if we are to commit our life to him. Even to this day, the name Jesus evokes controversy. And for centuries, Christians have been looking for their home. It's not here. Paul says that our citizenship is in heaven. And we wonder why we can never find our home. This is not our home. We will never find peace here. There'll be rumors. There will always be war. Jesus is the name that the world needs. Not just the name, but the person. They need to know who Jesus is and what he has done and what he is doing. There is meaning in that name of Jesus now and for all eternity. Jesus said, he promised himself, that whatever we might ask in his name, it would be granted. We serve our friends. We serve our community. We do all these things, the Thanksgiving turkeys, the Christmas toys. We do all those things in his name. Jesus, God saves, is the greatest and most powerful word humanity has ever known. And it is the final word that will be spoken with this person's history as it closes out. No name will ever have the name like Jesus. There'll be no other. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says, God elevated him to a place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. And at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What's in a name? Many different things in this case. Hope is in that name. Love is definitely in that name. Hope, love, but so are power and authority and courage and consolation. And yes, there is even unity in that name. For together we join hands and hearts, and on bowed knees upon that day, every one of us, and pay homage to the greatest name in heaven and on earth. That's why I believe I love the songs of Christmas so much. It speaks so much about the name of Jesus. It's all about him. You know, this afternoon, and I just saw Joanna leave. Joanna just stepped out. Today, At 2 o'clock, you meet in the church at 2 o'clock, and there's a second group meeting here at 4 o'clock. There's folks that are going to go Christmas caroling to some neighbors around. And if you want to be a part of that, you can be here at 2 o'clock and go. And if you can't sing, bring someone with you who can so they can cover you. But listen, seriously, this is a neat ministry. That Joanna says, she wrote me a text one day. She says, does anybody go Christmas caroling from our church? I said, I don't know. I don't know if they did last year or not, I don't remember. And I said, you know, as a pastor, I always have to put off on somebody else. I said, would you ask Todd? I mean, I don't know. He'd be the guy to ask, I think. He's a guy. And so there's some folks going to be going to a couple nursing homes, I think. And so if you're not home, they may just sing in your driveway. But if you want to be a part of that, that's another ministry of our church, I feel, because the name of Jesus will be proclaimed in song. And there's something about hearing a Christmas carol. There's just something about the season. Our world needs the peace that Jesus' name presents. His name also provokes anger. We've been hearing that as well in the news, haven't we? Our world needs Jesus. We need him so desperately. Not to do what we want him to do, but to give him full reign for who he is and allowing him to be the Christ of Christmas. It's all about him. And it's okay, we've got traditions. That's family. We need those. We need those things. Christmas Eve service has been a part of our family for many years. Our kids look forward to it. We go home. We usually have pizza. And then we gather around and we read the Christmas story. And we ask all the kids to pray a prayer about what Christmas means to them, to the one who Christmas is all about. You've got traditions too. Gloria Post has a pair of pants today from a tradition from the Sunday school class, the Seekers. How many years has that been going around? 30 years. Those pants are old. Let us not forget. It's more than just a tradition. Jesus is our life. Would you stand with me, please? Let's stand together. Oh God, there's something about that name, Jesus. When we say his name, peace enters. Even in chaos, even in pressure tension moments, the name of Jesus calms us. But it's more than just a name. Jesus is a person who gave himself for us. He came as a baby, perfect gift of love to the world. Thank you, God, for your gift to Jesus. My prayer is that everyone in this room knows who Jesus is. It's a personal relationship. It's a growing relationship. The author and perfecter of our faith. God, we thank you for the gift that you have given us in him. As we come to Christmas Eve, as we come to Christmas Day, may we spend these next few days meditating and pondering, thanking you, praising you, showing someone else the love of Christ through actions, through words, acts of kindness even. God, we give you praise today. Thank you for the gift of the season. Thank you for what Christmas means to us. And it's in his name we pray and thank you. Amen. Amen. If I don't see you before, Merry Christmas. God bless you. Dismissed.
Thank you.